Here we go.
I would like to be known as the Big Aristotle.
And I'm determined to bring a championship to Minnesota.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard!
Yeah! In your life have you seen anything like that?
I can't believe you're a golfer. I think you should be working at the snack bar.
Don't you ever touch my puck! How do you like that?
We're talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We're talking about practice.
Well, we're live.
I didn't do that.
They are who we thought they were. And we left them off the hook.
Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of The Scoop here on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Also online, myklgr.com. We've got a lot going on here for today's edition of The Scoop. Brandon Warren will join us at 3:15. We'll talk a little Twins baseball and a lot of headlines to get to here throughout the show today as well. As mentioned, typically at the beginning of every show, if you miss an episode of The Scoop, you can check it out anytime you'd like, myklgr.com/The Scoop. You can find every episode podcasted at that link, so be sure to check those out if you have not had a chance yet, as a lot of great interviews, especially yesterday's with A.J. Mansour of KFAN 100.3 in the cities. So do check that out if you haven't had a chance. And plenty of other great content as well with The Scoop. So we encourage you to check that out if you haven't already. Well, Brandon will join us at 3:15. So we are going to get right into it here today by taking a look at our top sports headlines here for today. And time to take a look at those top sports headlines here for today. Starting off with a couple of coaching legends who have passed today. We will talk about them later on in the show. Pat Summitt, the legendary women's basketball coach from the University of Tennessee, and also Buddy Ryan, who coached the defensive coordinator for the 1985 Chicago Bears team. We'll take a little bit of a deeper look at the numbers coming up later on here today. Also, a couple of top flight golfers have pulled out of the Olympics yet again. This time, the number one golfer in the world opting not to participate in the Olympics in Brazil. So we'll talk about that a little bit later as well. Minnesota Twins starting off a series tonight against the Chicago White Sox, and it's been a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde season for the White Sox. We'll talk about that with Brandon Warren coming up at 3:15 today. We'll talk about what may have been the longest and most strange rain delay, at least as far as I can remember, in which a game was not put off to the next day. We'll talk that strange one between the Yankees and the Texas Rangers from last night into early this morning as well. And the Minnesota Lynx got a chance to celebrate their championship from last season by heading to the White House yesterday. We've also got some clips, some sound clips for you from their visit yesterday as well. So those are your top sports headlines here for today, and we are going to take a quick break, and we will come back, as mentioned, joined by Brandon Warren today at 3:15. That's all on the way here on The Scoop.
You're listening to The Scoop.
And that's the bottom line.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9.
.316 here on The Scoop, and we are joined
by Brandon Warren, who covers the Minnesota Twins for Cold Omaha. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad, and hoping that the Twins can take what was a very encouraging game yesterday and kind of translate that into some momentum as the Twins finished off their series against the Yankees yesterday, winning by a score of 7-1 after a couple of disappointing performances in the first two games. And Tyler Duffy really was kind of the story of the game yesterday, Sunday, I should say, as the Twins had the day off yesterday. But the Twins able to hit six home runs to back Tyler Duffy, who had had just an awful time on the mound over his past, I think, seven starts, but really able to turn it around against the Yankees. Brandon, anything that you were able to notice that Duffy was really doing differently in that start on Sunday?
Well, I tell you, it seemed like he just attacked hitters better and, you know, kept the curveball down. Just two hits in eight innings. I mean, there's not much that can go wrong there. One earned run, again, eight strikeouts. But, again, being staked to a big lead like that certainly helps as well. You know, it didn't come out right away, actually. In fact, I had to kind of scratch and claw at first. But four runs in the sixth kind of put him at ease, gave him a couple more innings. And honestly, you know, I think he just knew that it had to be put up or shut up time, because I think the Twins had started to think about making a move with him. You know, ERA is still up over five, so he's not out of the woods yet. But, you know, he's got to clean it up in a big way here moving forward, because, you know, they're going to want to get Berrios back up here. I know Jason Wheeler's doing some big things down there as well. And, you know, so he did a good job to stave off being sent down for one start, but they're going to need to see two or three more just like this one to really feel like he's getting back on track.
Yeah, and a guy who I talked about it a little bit yesterday, just almost a Jekyll and Hyde in terms of his splits between starting during the day, in which he is much, much better as opposed to starting night games, and then home and away, the splits are pretty drastically different as well, which seems odd considering how Target Field is supposed to be billed as more of a pitcher's park, but nonetheless, is there anything really that would cause such drastic splits like that between being better on the road and not as good at home, which we typically see it just being the exact opposite?
I mean, with most guys, it would be if a team ballpark isn't really tailored to their skill set. You know, if you've got a really fly ball heavy guy like, say, Phil Hughes, pitching at the new Yankee Stadium back when he did, and that's why he struggled in that last year. At this point with Duffy, I think it's been more about just the sequencing of his struggles, maybe coming at a time when the Twins had a lot of home games and, you know, when he was pitching while they were on the road. I don't necessarily think he's a guy that's going to be a better road pitcher necessarily, and I just think, you know, it was just a matter of sequencing where he really went through a four- or five-start patch where he just couldn't get anybody out. And so, you know, this time coming on the road, it's a little bit dubious, but he'll make his next start at home. I think it's going to be against the Rangers over the weekend. So it'll be time to put that theory to the test. But that Rangers team is really tough. I mean, they got more wins than anybody else in baseball. So, you know, it might just, again, be a situation of sequencing and when games are occurring and how difficult the opponents are as well.
Brandon, we saw the end to a kind of a frustrating chapter for the Twins, in that over the weekend, Oswaldo Arcia was traded to the Tampa Bay Rays, closing the book on a prospect who had just what seemed like a tremendous amount of power, but never was able to really put things together. And he seems to have done okay with the Rays in his first couple of games with them. But was there any particular thing that you would have liked to have seen more from Arcia here with his Twins team, or just happy to see him get another opportunity with a different team that can maybe give him a little more playing time?
I mean, playing time is it. You know, it's just a situation where he didn't DH. very much at all, which is a good fit for him. And again, you know, Byung-ho Park was hot early in the season, but he's really cooled off. They couldn't find room for Arcia against righties. There's just a situation where they didn't put him in a situation to succeed, and as a result, he didn't. You know, yo-yo playing time as far as plate appearances here, a few plate appearances there, but nothing really steady to the point where he could get into a groove. And, you know, I don't know if that will even happen in Tampa. They've gone through a lot of injuries, but when everybody gets healthy, who knows? They might get interesting out there as well. But, you know, the situation was that there was a roster crunch, and he happened to be the guy that they didn't trust as much defensively, and they weren't going to move Byung-ho Park to the minors for him, which I might have considered as well. And it just, the sun set on his time in Minnesota, and it's got one of those feelings, though, where he can make them pay. And so far with six hits with the Rays, I think that's a legitimate concern. And so we'll see what happens, because if signing Park meant that they were going to get rid of Arcia at 25 years old, I might have reconsidered that move back in the offseason, even though I like the power potential that Park brings, and I still think he's going to be a fine hitter. It's just a matter of, you know, you're not going to use a 29-year-old guy to shove a 25-year-old guy off the roster, all things being equal.
Talking to Brandon Warren, who covers the Minnesota Twins for Cold Omaha. Brandon, one guy who has seemed to kind of put things together here over the past couple of weeks is Brian Dozier, as he's really swinging a good bat and has got himself back up into the 250 range, which is kind of what we, on the high end of what we expect for him with batting average and also showing the great power as well. How good is it to see him finally starting to kind of put his swing together?
Yeah, you know, it's great. And against maybe what people have heard from talking heads or anything like that, he's done it by pulling the baseball with authority. You know, he does have a couple of triples to right field, but the one that everyone was pointing to against the Yankees in that series here at Charter Field was just a little dinker to right field where he hit it about 85 miles per hour off the bat. And Carlos Beltran, who's nearly 40 years old, was chasing after it. Beltran's not a very good outfielder. And so it wasn't like he crushed that ball and that was the reason for his resurgence. The big part of his resurgence is in pulling the ball with authority again. And people kept insisting, use the whole field, use the whole field. Well, he went back to what he's good at, and that's driving the ball to left field, and he's been rewarded. And I'm glad that he was able to do that and to do it based on his strengths rather than completely revamping his swing and possibly, you know, wrecking all the things that he's good at.
Brandon, up next for the Twins, they start a series tonight against the Chicago White Sox, and this series has the potential for a lot of runs to be scored based on the pitching matchups. In particular, the game tomorrow between Ricky Nolasco and James Shields. What are you expecting to see from the Twins here over this series against the White Sox, a team who kind of ran away and hid with the American League Central, but now has really fallen back to the pace now in third place?
You know, the Twins don't get Chris Sale, which is, based on how they hit against him last year, might be the opposite of a blessing. But, you know, you never really want to face Chris Sale, whether he's rolling or not, because he's always got that potential to just carve people up. But they do got Quintana, who's been on a little bit of a funk over the last seven starts. Prior to his last start, the White Sox only scored 10 runs for him in seven straight losses. So he's pitched really well this year, just hasn't had much to show for it. And then James Shields, he went to, I think, five innings in Fenway last time out, but has been a real mess with the White Sox so far through three, I think it's four starts now. But they're really working hard to get him lined up and figured out, because they still got him for a couple more years after this at $10 million per, assuming he opts back into the deal. And then they've got Carlos Rodon, who is one of their better young pitchers, going on Thursday. And, you know, he's another interesting guy. He's got a really good slider when it's on. Good fastball, good off-speed and breaking stuff. He's just kind of struggled with his identity this year as far as, you know, is he going to be a guy who guides the ball in there at 91 or 92, or does he just reach back for upper 90s with a little less control? And anyway, he's trying to figure that all out. But as we've seen with Trevor Bauer with the Indians, you know, some of these younger guys with big-time stuff need some time to refine it, to know how to locate it and how to sequence it and all that stuff. And, you know, Rodon has been better at that this year. So it's a chance to score a bunch of runs, but at the same time, it's a chance to give up a lot of runs, because Gibson struggled. Nolasco has been up and down. And Tommy Malone, you know, has been in the minor leagues for most of the season. So, you know, it's a situation where you just don't know what you're going to get here. It could be a three-game sweep either way, but it's going to be a solid series. And, you know, the Twins obviously need to get things moving in a positive direction. I'm not positive that in Chicago that's the place to do it.
Brandon, with Cold Omaha, anything that you've got coming up here within the next week or so that you'd like to mention here on our segment today?
Well, this week we had a podcast breaking down the upcoming series, and so Dan Hayes of CSN Chicago did a really nice job. And then on the back end of that podcast, we had Matt Trueblood of Baseball Prospectus on to talk about the Cubs, who have the most wins in the National League. And then next week we'll have Mike Berardino on, who is, you know, best known as one of the better guys on the Twins beat with the Pioneer Press. So working on a couple things there. As far as writing, you know, not a whole lot on the docket right now. I did just write something about Brian Dozier's resurgence for today's knuckleball that'll go up later this afternoon. But other than that, pretty low key.
Excellent. Well, Brandon, thanks for joining us again this week. For those listening who have not had a chance to follow what Brandon does for Cold Omaha, go to coldomaha.com to take a look at some of his Twins features as well as the website itself. A lot of great insight there, and we look forward, Brandon, to talking with you again next week.
All right. Thank you. Sounds great.
Brandon Warren of Cold Omaha covers the Twins. We've got a link up on our show page for you to follow both Brandon on Twitter and also to take a look at some of the pieces that he has done for Cold Omaha, so be sure to check those out if you get a chance here today. We are going to get to a break, and when we come back, we will take a look at some of our top headlines of the day. That is on the way, coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
I'll be back.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Catch The Scoop Monday through Friday from 3 to 4 p.m. on KLGR 1490 AM and FM
95.9. 3:33 here on The Scoop. We'll have today's episode up on the podcast a little bit later on this afternoon, but some good info from Brandon Warren as usual. Glad to have a great stable of guests here so far, and we'll have a couple more that'll be joining throughout the summer here as well. Well, getting to some of our top headlines of the day. Jason Day has pulled out of the Olympics because of the Zika virus. He joins a growing list of athletes that will not be participating in the Olympic Games. And he is the fifth and most prominent athlete to not be going to the Olympics, including Rory McIlroy, Charles Schwartzel, Brandon Grace, and Mark Leishman. So a lot of golfers not going, and one potential replacement for Rory McIlroy has just withdrawn earlier today. Shane Lowry of Ireland, he would have been next up to compete in the Olympics to take McIlroy's place, but he will not be going either. So it looks like for Ireland, Padraig Harrington and Seamus Power, ranked number 159 and number 283 in the world, would play for Ireland during the Olympics. So we're seeing a pretty widespread impact that this is having on the amount of athletes who are willing to be in the Olympics. And as I said, when McIlroy withdrew from the Olympics, this is not going to be the last athlete who will not be participating in the Olympic Games. So we will have to keep an eye out and see if there are any more that happen here this season. Well, the Minnesota Lynx got a chance to go to the White House to celebrate their championship from last season. And Lindsey Whalen had a couple of comments that she made to the audience listing and kind of poking some fun, not necessarily poking some fun, but a little bit of a kind of a funny remark about enjoying trips to the White House with the amount of titles that the Lynx have won here recently. So we will play that for you.
Yeah, it's our third time here in 5 years, so it's been a good run. We've had a good partnership, and you know, we were kind of talking earlier today, maybe if there's a chance we could maybe get some legislation passed, you know, for you 4 more years and us a couple more times here. kind of keep this thing going.
And also inviting President Obama to come watch a Lynx game at the Target Center.
It's a great year. The invitation definitely stands for you to come to our house. So, whose house?
Our house.
Okay, so invitation stands. I know some people that we can get you some seats, so yeah, we have a jersey for you.
Okay,
so.
I like jerseys.
So there you have it, the Lynx getting recognized for another stellar season last year, their third championship in 5 years. So we hope the Lynx can keep it going despite the 2 losses in a row. No doubt that they should be able to get back on track and continue their dominance here this season. And we are going to take a look at one more of our headlines before we take another break. This one really kind of odd, as Yankees manager Joe Girardi had plenty of reason to be upset, as last night's game against the Texas Rangers went from a 6-5 potential win to a rain-delayed game that ended up being a 9-6 loss for the Yankees. Ending at 2:44 Eastern time this morning. The Yankees had a 6-5 lead in the ninth inning, and the rains came. Manager Joe Girardi went out to the mound trying to tell closer Aroldis Chapman to use a different rosin bag, and trying to get the crew to help out with that, but it appeared from the outside that he was calling for the game to be called, in which it was. And Girardi then had to watch as the rains came and poured. They had been pouring pretty heavily for the past couple of innings, but the game finally called in the top of the ninth inning. When the game was resumed nearly 3.5 hours later, Chapman was unable to take the mound, and the Yankees had to bring in a different relief pitcher. And they ended up giving up the lead, a 4-run top of the ninth inning, to give the Rangers a 9-6 lead, in which they did not relinquish. So kind of an odd circumstance, as the game could have been called much earlier, certainly, but then coming to kind of back to bite the Yankees there, although they didn't call for the rain delay. But just an odd kind of an end to the game, as I think that might be the longest resumed game that was delayed. Certainly the latest, but I'm sure the Yankees will recover just fine after that one. We're going to take another break here on The Scoop. We'll come back and we will talk about Pat Summitt and Buddy Ryan. That is on the way after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
You cannot be serious!
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. Missed today's episode of The Scoop? Find each and every episode on myklgr.com under the Sports tab.
.345 here on The Scoop. Couple of coaching legends who passed away earlier today. Wanted to get a bit of a chance to talk about their legacies. Of course, talking about Pat Summitt, the legendary coach of the University of Tennessee's basketball team, and also Buddy Ryan, longtime NFL coach and defensive coordinator for the 1985 Chicago Bears Super Bowl championship team. So we'll start off by taking a bit of a look at what Summit was able to bring to the Volunteers. And if you have a chance today, just search Pat Summit on Google or Twitter and try to get a chance to read some of the stories that have come out about all that she was able to do. Certainly a fantastic role model and did a lot of great things for the sport of girls basketball, and going to be missed by a lot of people. But was kind of listening to some reaction earlier today, and one note that I took away that I think is just astounding, that all of the years that Summit was a coach for Tennessee, maintained a 100% graduation rate for her players. That's just phenomenal, and speaks to not only wanting to have success on the court, but also off the court as well. And the numbers for Summit certainly speak for themselves as the all-time winningest coach in college basketball, and over 1,000 wins in her career. 8 national championships, including 1995 to 96, 96, 97, and 97, 98, 3-time champions. Then in 94, 95, finishing as the runner-up. So a very successful stretch for Summit, and a coach that brought quite a bit to her team and players as well, and one that certainly will be missed by the basketball world. And also, Buddy Ryan, coach of the Chicago Bears, amongst other teams, but focusing mostly on the 1985 Chicago Bears, in which he was defensive coordinator, and just taking a look at some of the numbers. The Bears in 19 games, they finished the season 18-1. In 19 games, they allowed a total of 198 points to opponents. So that was well and away the number one scoring defense in football in the year 1985. And they averaged, they only gave up 16 touchdown passes compared to 34 interceptions. That is a massive total of interceptions in 19 games. Allowed just 1,319 yards rushing and 6 touchdowns. And led the league in several defensive categories as well, including the playoffs, in which they ended up beating the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl by a score of 46-10. They held the Patriots to 123 total yards and just 7 rushing in that game and 6 turnovers. So that defense was at its best when the games meant the most. And one of the memorable quotes from Buddy Ryan, "No quarterback has ever completed a pass while laying on his back," and certainly brought that sort of style to the Chicago Bears, one that ended up getting them the Super Bowl championship. And if you have a chance as well, try to watch the ESPN 30 for 30 on the 1985 Chicago Bears. Just a fantastic documentary and a great look into what made that team so great for the city of Chicago in 1985. But that, just a look at two of the coaching greats who passed on earlier today, Pat Summit and Buddy Ryan. So condolences to their families here today. And as typically happens when a celebrity of that stature passes on, a lot of great stories come out of the woodwork as well. So I encourage you, if you have a chance today, to try to find some of those and enjoy them here in their memory. Did also have one note that I wanted to pass along from yesterday. Kind of exciting Minnesota Vikings nugget that the Vikings have named the PA announcer for U.S. Bank Stadium, Alan Roach, who is a Slayton, Minnesota native, spent his high school years in Brainerd, and he will be the public address announcer for the new Viking Stadium this season. Has several big games under his resume. He worked for the Denver Broncos, the Colorado Avalanche, Colorado Rockies, and four Winter Olympics, 2002, 2006, 2010, and 2014. He's also done he's worked in multiple capacities for the NFL, including eight Super Bowls and a combination of Pro Bowls, NFL drafts, and the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrinement ceremony. So kind of a cool note to have a Minnesota native be the voice for the Vikings. So we certainly wish him good luck with those duties. We're going to take our final break here on The Scoop. We'll come back with What's on Deck, and that's coming up after this.
You're listening to The Scoop.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
On KLGR 1490 AM and FM 95.9. For the latest scores, play-by-play, schedules, and more, visit myklgr.com.
Time winding down here on The Scoop. It's time to take a look at what's on deck with the games played tonight. Starting off in Major League Baseball, the Texas Rangers and the New York Yankees continuing their series. 6:05 tonight, Cole Hamels against CC Sabathia. Also at 6:05 tonight, the New York Mets in the nation's capital to take on the Washington Nationals. Matt Harvey getting the start for the Mets against Lucas Giolito, making his Major League debut for the Nationals. At 6:10, Miami in Detroit to take on the Detroit Tigers. Adam Conley against Mike Pelfrey, the pitching matchup in that game. Cleveland at Turner Field taking on Atlanta. It'll be Corey Kluber against Matt Weisler. Chicago in Cincinnati taking on the Reds. John Lester against John Lamb. Boston at Tampa Bay taking on the Rays. Rick Porcello against Chris Archer, the pitching matchup there. At 7:10, Minnesota in Chicago taking on the White Sox. Kyle Gibson looking for his first win of the year against Jose Quintana. The Los Angeles Dodgers in Milwaukee taking on the Brewers. Julio Urias against Chase Anderson. St. Louis against Kansas City at Kauffman Stadium. It will be Michael Wacha against Yordano Ventura. Toronto at Coors Field taking on the Rockies at 7:40. J.A. Happ against Eddie Butler. Philadelphia taking on Arizona at 8:40. Jared Eichhoff against Zach Greinke. Houston taking on the Los Angeles Angels at 9:05 tonight. Scott Feldman against Tim Lincecum. Pittsburgh in Seattle taking on the Mariners. Jonathan Nease against Hisashi Iwakuma. Baltimore at San Diego at Petco Park tonight at 9:10. That will feature Ubaldo Jimenez against Eric Johnson. And Oakland taking on the San Francisco Giants at 9:15. Kendall Graveman against Albert Suarez. That is the Major League Baseball slate for tonight. College World Series, Game 2 of the Best of 3 Championship against Coastal Carolina and Arizona. Arizona winning last night by a score of 3-0 to take a 1-0 lead. Again, best two winner of the two games in that three-game set is the NCAA champion in college baseball. A couple of games on the slate for the WNBA tonight. The Atlanta Dream taking on the Seattle Storm tonight, and the Los Angeles Sparks going up against the Dallas Wings. So that is what's on deck here for today's action. And it is time now to wrap things up here on today's edition of The Scoop.
All aboard!
Enough's enough! Taunting Marty Foster to throw him out, and he's gone.
And he gone.
Fans want an ejection. There he goes.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Well, there you have it, another edition of The Scoop under wraps. Be sure to check it out if you missed part of the show today, or if you missed the interview with Brandon Warren covering the Minnesota Twins. Check that out on our podcast later on tonight. We'll have a full show tomorrow as well with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we will be previewing the Buffalo Ridge shootouts. Some of the top area basketball teams getting together to play some basketball on Thursday morning. We will talk about that tomorrow as well. So a lot going on here in the area. We'll cover it all tomorrow on The Scoop. If you missed any episodes of The Scoop, you can check them out, myklgr.com/The Scoop. So give that a check as well tonight. We've got all of our guest contact info if you want to check out some of the things they're working on as well. Take a look at all of that on our show page. Have a good rest of your Tuesday. We'll be back at 3:05 tomorrow on KLGR Redwood Falls. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.